And all the things that we see are times in which you and I are given opportunities by the Lord to be able to accomplish what He's called us to do. And so what we have to discern is what is God's will and God's wisdom for us, and what is worldly wisdom. Let's begin reading in James chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. James chapter 3 and verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What do we do when wisdom seems to be foolishness? You know, it seems like in the United States, this great country in which we live, we've become a country dependent upon psychology. Everywhere that we go, there's these self-help books. Even though America claims less than 10% of the world's population, it houses over one-third of the world's psychiatrists and over half of the world's clinical psychologists. Millions, literally, of Americans rely on the insights of Sigmund Freud and Carl Jung to deal with the reality of everyday life. Now, this is not a message or a tirade against psychology or psychiatry, because they have a great area of ministry and work in our world today. But there is a difference between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. And I want us to look at that, because most of our psychiatry, most of our clinical psychology today is built on worldly wisdom. Let's talk about some of those. Worldly wisdom. What is the origin of worldly wisdom? The origin of worldly wisdom is seen in verse 15. It says this: this wisdom does not descend from above, but it is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Wisdom consists of having this: insight and expertise in order to draw a conclusion that is correct. Insight and expertise to draw a conclusion that is correct. But if you don't have a proper foundation, you can't draw a proper conclusion. If your foundation is wrong, your implementation of that will be wrong. So what was the origin of worldly wisdom? Notice there are three things. It's earthly, it is sensual, and it is demonic. Let's look at earthly wisdom first. James says that the origin of our worldly wisdom is earthly. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, Paul writes this: has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And when I hear a lot of stuff going on in our world today, I'm thinking God surely is laughing. Think about all the stuff that's going on. From the very beginning, man has been trying to reach up to God. That is religion, by the way. Man trying to reach up to God, but true relationship is God reached down to us. In fact, think back to the beginning of our biblical history and take note of the consistent pattern of failure of man's earthly wisdom. Think about the Tower of Babel. Think about Lot's choice. Think about the Garden of Eden. I mean, it couldn't have been a more perfect situation, but yet sin messed everything up. How'd you like that song? Wasn't that a great song? In Genesis chapter 3, we see that event recorded there. It provides the first mention in the Bible of world wisdom. In verse 5, Satan says this, tells Eve that she will what? Be like God, knowing good and evil. And in verse 6, she saw that the tree was desirable to make one wise. So it's earthly. It goes against what God's wisdom is. Notice the second thing is, it's not only earthly, but it's natural. This natural wisdom. The word natural or sensual here is the Greek word psuche. It's actually, it means natural or soulish, and it is translated in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 as the natural man. Now, psuche is used to describe the wisdom of the world. It means natural as opposed to spiritual. Most of the wisdom of the world today is a natural sense of logical type of thinking. Let me give you a perfect example. Now, I'm not here to bash any particular group here today, but I want to give you a perfect example of wisdom, earthly wisdom, and natural wisdom that comes apart from what the Word of God teaches, which is absolute truth. Think about this today. There are people out there today who don't even know whether they are a male or female. That is absolutely beyond comprehension for me, because the Bible says, here's godly wisdom. And God created them male and female. Now, that is absolute truth. So if you want to go by worldly, earthly wisdom and natural wisdom, someone says, well, I don't feel like I'm a male. I feel like I'm a female. Well, I don't care how you feel. You either got a double X or an XY. That's just the way it is. Yeah, that's a good place to applaud and praise the Lord. It's absolutely mind-blowing for someone. I saw, was watching something the other day and saw this individual. This individual says, and I don't know, X said, not male or female. She was being interviewed. It was a she, by the way. She was being interviewed, and she says, I don't identify as a male or a female. I said, honey, look in the mirror. Go to the potty and find out. That's worldly wisdom. And the psychologist and the psychiatry and American Medical Association and all of those things out there today are saying, well, being male or female is more than just chromosomes. It's how you feel or what you identify with. Listen, I can identify that I'm a multi-billionaire, but it ain't gonna happen. That's worldly wisdom. Removing from the equation the truth of the Word of God. Now, my heart goes out to people who are so confused. They are about as confused as the little boy who dropped his chewing gum in the hen house. Boy, that went right over you. Natural wisdom. Look at the third thing that earthly wisdom is. I mean, it is that worldly wisdom is. It is demonic. You know what I think today? That the devil is running rampant throughout our country and throughout our world today, confusing people, drawing them away from the light and the truth, just as he tried to do and did in the Garden of Eden. The word demonic here is used to describe the world's wisdom. It settles once and for all the identity of the mastermind behind this system of worldly wisdom, and it is Satan himself. Satan's wisdom is alive and well, and you and I are more affected by it than we really understand. It is the dominating influence in our world. It's piped into our homes. We pull these things off of our waist and off of our belt and look at it, and we're bombarded with it. We're intimidated by its principles. Because many of us as believers don't know what the Word of God says about a particular subject. And many today will call you bigoted. They'll call you sexist. They'll call you xenophobic. They'll call you a misogynist, and some of those words, some of you will have to look up in the dictionary. I had to. I had no idea I was called all those ugly names. I just happen to believe that the Word of God is truth. And if you want to ask this question, is this right or is this wrong, see what God says about it. Let me give you another example. We're a nation of immigrants. Every one of us in this room, if we trace our heritage, probably came from Europe or somewhere, some other nation, our families. But when we came to this country, we came not as Europeans. We came to become Americans. And we came with a new vision, a new direction. And the Statue of Liberty there, giving freedom to all who would come to the shores, but accepting a whole new ideology and accepting what that ideology was founded upon, and that our country was founded upon the principles and truths of God's Word. 56 of the signers of our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence, 56 of them were believers. Many of them had seminary degrees. These were people who loved God, loved His Word, and wanted a nation where you could come and worship God without the government interference. That's what the First Amendment is about. And the Second Amendment gives some teeth to it. I'll tell you how I feel about that in just a little bit. But think about how the world has turned upside down. Today, the issue of immigration. We ought to welcome any. In fact, the biblical concept of immigration is, the Bible tells us to welcome the foreigners and the strangers, to take them in. But the Word of God also says, you shall have no other gods before me. So when someone comes here who does not know the true and living God, and they want to have, in some sense, be able to take over our country, who believes and founded upon the principles of the one and true and only living God, and wants to change our laws based on what their false God says, we can't do that. They should be assimilated into our society. And they, if they don't want to worship the true and living God, that's their freedom to do so. But they cannot and should not. And I want to tell you, it is time for us to stand up as believers and say to a world and to a government, we will not allow Sharia law and other things to take over our Constitution and the truth of the Word of God. Would to God today that we could have some politicians with backbone who would stand up. I want to tell you, he's standing up and he's being shot at. And when you stand up, you will be too. Demonic. Who do you think wants to destroy the idea that America was founded upon Christian principles? Do you think that's just some ploy or some other group? It's the devil himself. He's trying to destroy. Then let's look at the operation of worldly wisdom. James 3, verse 14. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. Now he talks about here three or four things about this idea of how worldly wisdom operates. Number one, it's jealous anger. Notice he calls it bitter envy. Bitter envy. The world's wisdom, what does it do? It exalts men and tries to glorify man. The person who operates on this basis of the world's wisdom is always seeking to promote himself. It's reminiscent of the argument among the apostles over the place of honor in the kingdom. The number one ploy of such a person is the age-old game of pushing oneself up, pushing someone else down. It's jealous anger. Number two, it's selfish ambition, the verse tells us. The King James translates this here as self-seeking or as strife. And the word used here in the New Testament times is to describe a politician who was canvassing for his job. The word later came to mean a party spirit. Today, here's the word that we get from this Greek word, manipulation. Whatever I can to manipulate you to do what I want you to do. It's selfish ambition. The third is that it's proud arrogance. The phrase in the verse here, glory not, is a warning against arrogance and bragging. And the wisdom of this world is identified by the arrogance of the one who is under that spell. You know, pride loves to boast. Paul was dealing with this as he wrote his second letter to the Corinthians. Listen to this. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Did you get all that? He said a mouthful there. Think about it. And then last there, it is deceitful actions. James speaks of those who lie against the truth. My old dad had a lot of country sayings. But when he would meet a fella that was kind of argumentative, he had his way of saying things. And this, my dad would say this, son, I believe that guy would argue with a signpost that didn't have any writing on it. You know anybody like that? Lie against the truth. Don't confuse me with the facts. I've got my mind made up. And today we see that happening over and over and over again. The absolute immoral degradation of our country. God has a perfect plan. You know, sex is something that God created. And it's really a wonderful thing. When it is in the parameters of God's standard for it to be expressed. And that is one man, one woman, in holy marriage. Now, in our world today, everywhere we look, that's being destroyed. And even in the lives of Christians. Well, I know what God says, but I just love him or I just love her. Well, that's wonderful. But unless you follow God's plan, you're seeking worldly wisdom. I had a fellow not long ago tell me, I was talking to him and encouraging him in his walk with Christ and trying to disciple him in some ways. And he's got a lot of things going on in his life. And this is his perspective of marriage. This is what he told me. He said, Brother Ken, you see these boots I got on? I said, yeah. I said, those are about $250 boots. Alligator. Cowboy boots. Nice. I said, you know, preacher can't afford alligator boots like that. And I said, that's nice. I'm glad you got them. He said, you know, he said, I tried on about a dozen pair before I exactly found the pair that really fit me. I said, okay. He said, and that's the way I see marriage. I need to try on as many ladies as I can to see which one fits me. That's worldly wisdom. That is stupidity. That is arrogance against the truth of God's word. That is absolutely flying in the face of what God says. It's deceitful actions. Arrogant, listen, they lie against the truth. Don't tell me, this is what he said, Brother Ken, don't tell me what the Bible says. That book's outdated anyway. I said, no, it's not outdated. You just had never caught up with it yet. And here, you know, the issue is you've got to have a standard. Let me ask you something. Today, if I wanted to build, you know, we've got this extra platform put on the stage and all for, if I wanted to build that, I'd get my measuring tape out and I'd measure all the way across and say, you know, I need it to be whatever it is there, 36, 38 feet, whatever it is there. How do I know that that is 38 feet? I have a measuring tape that is the standard of measurement. And if I want to know if something is exactly a foot long, what do? I pull out the measuring tape to 1 foot and compare it to what I think is a foot long and see if it measures up. You've got to have a standard to measure by that never changes. It's 1 foot here. It's 1 foot there. It's 1 foot everywhere. You can't go anywhere that 1 foot is 14 inches or 18 inches. It's always going to be 12 inches. Why? Because it's the standard. The Word of God is our standard. If we want to know if something is right or wrong, we measure by that standard. It never changes. That's what a standard never does. It never changes. It is always the same in every situation. It does not accommodate to culture. It does not accommodate to psychology or psychiatry. The standard is the same. We are all sinners. Jesus is the only Savior. And if you ever want to get rid and know of what your sin has done to you and understand the impact that it's had upon you, go to the Word of God. And then turn to Christ. And He will be the one who will save you. What is the outcome of this worldly wisdom? Confusion. The word confusion means to disturb or upheaval. It's sometimes used to describe anarchy. I think about, as I watch the news sometimes and watch these Antifa folks. Have you ever seen any of them? These anarchists who are out there on our college campuses, turning our college campuses into riots and anarchy. I mean, the first time I saw them, their dress told me something. They had on a black hoodie with it pulled over their head, with a black mask on, black pants on. Now, there's nothing wrong with having black clothes. But when you cover your face to cover your sin and to cover the fact that you are not who you say you are, they are the biggest hypocrites in the world. They're not fighting for justice. They're fighting for anarchy, to overthrow the freedoms and the blessings that we have here. It's confusion. It means to disturb, and to cause anarchy. And wherever the wisdom of this world operates, the result is instability, chaos, and convulsive conditions. And that describes what we see everywhere today. Then the scripture says that the outcome of worldly wisdom is every evil work. The word evil here doesn't mean like we think of as bad. It literally means worthless and good for nothing. That's exactly what it means here. Worthless and good for nothing. The prophet Isaiah put it like this in Isaiah 29:14. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hidden. The man who chooses the world's wisdom over God's wisdom will spend his life in futility. So on the opposite of worldly wisdom is heavenly wisdom. Where does it begin? Its origin of heavenly wisdom is found in James chapter 3. Notice what it says. It is from above. It's from above. The wisdom of God comes from God. He created all things. He's given us His Word. He brought to us His revelation through His Word, the written Word, and through His Son, the living Word. We have a standard we can measure everything by. It's from above. It's from God. Anything that attacks this Word is not from God. It's earthly wisdom, but heavenly wisdom comes from God. It's made available. How do we get it? It's made available through God's Holy Spirit And it is written down in God's holy book, the Bible, and revealed to us in person in Jesus Christ. That's the origin. What's the operation of heavenly wisdom? Heavenly wisdom is pure. I'm going to tell you what. You're not going to find anything wrong with following God's will. You know when we get ourselves in a mess is when we determine to find and follow our own will instead of God's will. We follow earthly wisdom instead of divine and godly wisdom. Heaven wisdom is pure. You'll never, ever get yourself in trouble in the sense of sinfulness and a wayward lifestyle if you are following the Word of God. The second thing, heavenly wisdom is peaceable. You want peace in your life? You want a calmness in your spirit? Be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Heavenly wisdom is pure, and heavenly wisdom is peaceable. He promises to give us great and perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3. You know these people that are so confused about whether they're male or female? If they just listened to God, they could settle that pretty quickly. And they'd find peace. They're in turmoil. Heavenly wisdom is gentle. Strife, anarchy is world's wisdom, but gentleness is a property of the wisdom from above. Heavenly wisdom, next, is willing to yield. Willing to yield. When you're presented with the truth, you're willing to yield to that truth when you follow the wisdom of God. The phrase willing to yield is found only in this verse in the New Testament. It is the only time it's found. And it's a military term, which means to be willing to take instructions. Now, there's one thing, I was never in the military, but from talking with people who are in there, there's one thing that you better learn to do or you're going to be in big trouble, and that is you need to learn to take instructions. If you don't take instructions, you are not going to be a happy camper. Why is that important? Because when you're out there in the heat of battle, and the man who is in charge, your commanding officer, gives a command, there should be absolute obedience. If not, you jeopardize everyone's lives. Now, if he makes a wrong judgment, then that's on him. But you're taught obedience. I want to tell you, I think we need to have boot camp for Christians. Here's a sign-up sheet. Who will sign up first? Right here. Learn to take instruction from the Word of God and from the power of the Holy Spirit of God that lives within you. Why depend upon worldly wisdom? Heavenly wisdom is also without partiality. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. Doesn't matter what ethnicity you are. Doesn't matter where you fit in the socioeconomic ladder. You know, you've got the upper uppers and the middle uppers and the lower uppers, and you got the middle middles and the lower middles and the middle middles, and you got the lower lowers and the lower middles and the lower lowers. It sounds like a dental college or something that sociology does. It's amazing to me. But it's without partiality. I'm glad to know that today. That's neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female. The ground at the cross is level for everyone and anyone. Then heavenly wisdom is without hypocrisy. The word hypocrite here is basically a transliteration of a Greek word, and it goes back to the idea of the Greek tragic plays, the tragedy plays, where in many of the scenes, the actors would play different parts. And as they would play different parts, they would put a mask. They're playing, you know, this part, then they put that mask down and they become another character. And the word literally means behind the mask. And so heavenly wisdom is without hypocrisy. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to think, well, is it going to change or so on, because it is the same. The term gradually became associated with folks who played a role off stage as well. And today, a hypocrite is someone who is not real, who is phony, and does not truly represent himself. So what do we represent? Worldly wisdom or earthly wisdom? If you're going to walk with Christ and really mature, you have to be different than those that walk by the wisdom of the world. But God would not set this before us and challenge us in this way without the potential for us to do it and do it in His power and in His strength. We can live in His wisdom if we will fill our hearts with His truth. For little by little, His truth will take over our lives, and we will be creatures walking after the wisdom of God. So what is the final outcome? Verse 18 tells us two things: fruit of righteousness and peace. I don't know about you, but that is a great outcome. Worldly wisdom or godly wisdom? Which shall you choose today? Choose you this day whom you shall serve, as Joshua said to his people. Whether it be the gods of your fathers or whether it be some idol, will you choose worldly wisdom or will you choose godly wisdom? And if you're going to choose godly wisdom, you've got to become a student of this book. You've got to hide God's word. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The Bible is full of truth. The Bible is full of wisdom. The Bible gives us all that we need to know about all that God wants us to do and all the blessings that He has for us in our lives. So today, choose you this day. For blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its own season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so. But they are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You follow worldly wisdom, you're headed down the road of perishing. You follow godly wisdom, you're headed down the road to an eternity with Christ. But while you're on that road, you have His righteousness and His peace. Your choice. Choose you this day. Let's pray. Lord, thank you.